Thank you for joining us for the True Life Fellowship Church podcast. Here is today's message from Pastor Devon Alexander.
As we get into the Word this morning, I feel very vulnerable, if I could use that word this morning. As I was praying about what to bring, I'm going to be very transparent. I promise you that I won't be rambling or anything like that. I had, you know me, I'm very structured in what the Lord wants me to bring. But this morning, I'm really just going to share from my heart. And obviously, it's going to minister to you, and I believe you'll be blessed by it as well. But I've jotted some things down, really in no particular order, as I was thinking throughout this week. And as you know, we have a lot going on in our nation. I mean, from the presidential election to the COVID-19 to states looking like they're about to, you know, close back down, and to schools having some issues there as well where COVID-19 is concerned, to people so divided in our nation where the elections are concerned. And I'll tell you what, Isaiah 26:3, real quick, if you don't mind, put that on the screen, Colleen. Thank you. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." And so this scripture is very profound for today, that God is promising that to protect us, to keep us in this perfect peace or in this undisturbed composure, to keep us in undisturbed composure despite what's going on around us, because peace is not the absence of conflict. It really is the presence of Jesus. And he says that he will keep us. He will protect us in perfect peace, but we have to keep our mind, our attention, our thoughts, and our emotions stayed on him. If we keep our attention, our thoughts, our emotion, those things that are occurring in our soulish realm stayed on him, he will keep us in undisturbed composure and in perfect peace. And it says, because he trusts in you. Because you and I trust in him, we're going to keep our mind stayed on him. We're going to give him our focus and our attention. We're going to give him our thoughts. And he promises to protect us, to keep us in this perfect peace. Well, I have to be honest with you guys. This week, I have disobeyed this verse. If I can be just transparent and honest, I have been disobedient to this verse. I have not been in perfect peace. I have allowed my emotions to go crazy with what's going on in our nation. Stacy said, are you okay? I might have yelled here at this time. I have a blood pressure machine at home. I like to regularly check my blood pressure. I checked my blood pressure. It was high. And I was like, my goodness, what is going on with me? And when I first got into the ministry, I got some sound advice from some veterans in the ministry. And one advice they gave me was, don't appoint leaders too soon. So when we first started the church, that was your dad, Susie. He told me, don't appoint leaders too soon in the church. And that was good piece of advice, because he said, as soon as you appoint a leader, it's going to go to their head and they're not going to do anything else. They will be inflexible and they won't do anything else, and it'll crush the beginning. So you and Stacy, as much as you can, y'all do as much as you can at the beginning until you establish a foundation, then you can begin to appoint leaders. And that was good advice. He told me, Susie's father actually told me that he appointed leaders right when they started church, and literally crushed him and his family. The next piece of advice I got from someone was, don't have guest speakers too soon in the church. The people need to hear from you. They need to know who the father of the house is. They need to hear your voice. Don't bring in guest speakers too soon. And I've followed that advice as well as we got going. And the third piece of advice I got was, never talk about anything controversial. A new minister should never talk about politics, should never bring up anything that's controversial. And I agree. Preach the word, stay with the word, and don't bring up anything controversial. But I got to thinking about it this week that I'm actually not a new minister anymore. We've been doing this thing for over close to 10 years now. I'm kind of a veteran now in this thing, right? And, you know, and it's a blessing because, you know, most churches, something like 7 out of 10 churches will close before the first year. They start, and before the first year over, they don't even make it past a year. And then a half of that after that doesn't make it past 2 years. And if you can get past 5 years, you've made, well, we're going on 10 years. Glory to God. Praise God for his faithfulness. And so this past week, I'm being very transparent with you. I have not been in perfect peace. I have been emotional. I've probably lashed out. I've been upset. I've been texting. I've been on the phone. I've been outside. I've been pacing. I've been holding my peace. I've been biting my thumbs from texting. I've just not have been in perfect peace. And really this morning, I want to talk to you about some things that are in my heart. And I've talked to these three types of people just since November 3rd. There are these three type of people. And in regarding the presidential election, one person is Biden is the winner. You have that person that says Biden is the winner. You have another person that I talked to, Trump is the winner. And then you have a third group of people that I've talked to that the election has not been decided. And so we have three categories of people. Biden is the winner, Trump is the winner, and the election has not been decided. And don't answer this, but I want to ask you this question. Which one are you? Which one are you? Now, to give you some truth, some facts about the election technically has not been decided. Technically. And December 8th, all the states ratify their votes and they send them to the Electoral College, and they have to do this before December 14th. That's when the Electoral College meets. Once the states have ratified their votes and given them to Electoral College, the Electoral College then begins to pledge based upon what their state has voted for and said, this is our candidate for presidency, and that state will receive the electoral votes. So technically, the election is not over. Now, in the past, what we have had, and I've been through 11 presidents, by the way, what we have had, and I know some of you have been through more, what we've had in the past is we've had on election night, we've had a concession that the states will tell the media that this is our results from our state. They are still unofficial. But they will tell the media. So this whole idea that the media has elected a president, it's not true. They got the information from the states. The states get the information or give the information to the media unofficially. They give it to the media. And then what happens, we stay up to 1, 2 in the morning in years past, right? And we're up. And at the end of the night, typically someone says, I cannot win this election based upon the information that's given, and someone will normally concede and say, I concede. Then they start the transition pretty quickly about president-elect and so on and so forth, and we continue on. But in this particular year, we haven't had a concession. And so we've had, President Trump has said that there has been, and you guys heard all this, there has been widespread fraud occurring in the election, okay? Now, if that is true, we need to hear about it, and we need facts. Because that allegation is the fabric of our foundation in our democratic republic, that if our elections are flawed and our elections are cheating and full of widespread fraud, we got to know that. And if it's true, then we're nothing more than a third world country. We cannot trust the election process if that is true. And so we need to know, hey, he says I have allegations, there's suspicion over here, indiscretion over here, this looks looks crazy over here, then we need to know it, and it needs to go to the courts, and we need to find it out, and we need to scrap everything that we have ever done before in our elections. Our elections are no more than Venezuela, if that's the case, which is very corrupt. So if that's true, we need facts. And so unintentionally, I have read every article, Arnita, that you can imagine. I mean, I have not kept my eyes in the Word. I've read this article, and 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 I read this article, and when I get done reading this article, I'm mad at President Trump. And when I get done reading this article, I'm mad at Joe Biden. And when I get done reading this article, I don't like Democrats. And when I get done reading this article, I don't like Republicans. All this is, I've been reading, just educating, and just reading and reading and reading. And one particular guy, and I want to quote you, he said, Democrats, now listen to this. This is a Republican. This is what he said to me. Democrats have been committing widespread fraud for decades. In the same week, a Democrat, they don't even know each other. This is what he said. Republicans have been committing widespread voter fraud for decades. The exact same thing. These two people don't know each other at all, and they've said the exact same thing. And this is the state in which we are living in, where we've got to have truth. And if there is an allegation, then it has to be founded with truth so that we can explore it, eliminate it, and fix the issue. But if there is no validity to the allegations, then we have to move forward. Are you listening to me today? And we will have that answer by December 14th, unless the Supreme Court comes and says, hey, we want to extend the date. They could do that if they have information to do that as well. And so throughout this entire week, I've been studying. And I've been reading, and I've been studying, and I've been reading, and I'm submitting to you. I have not been studying and I read the Word, but I've been spending more time studying and reading what's going on in our Democratic Republic than ever before. Let me just spit this out. This will be free. You don't have to pay for this. The United States is not a democracy. Okay, let me say, I know you keep hearing it's a democracy. We're not a democracy. A democracy is the majority of the people rule. And whatever the people decide, the majority decide, that's what happens. That is not what the United States is built on. We are built more like a republic, which simply means the people decide our elected officials, and then our elected officials makes decision on our behalf. Your governor ain't never called you to ask you what you should do. Have you got a call? Has Rory Cooper called and said, should I do this or that? No, because in our republic, we have elected him to do the job for us. So we are more of a republic than we are a democracy. A complete democracy means the majority wins. And it's happened twice in my lifetime that the majority of people that voted for a particular president didn't win. That should tell you we're not a democracy. So we're not a democracy. Keep hearing this word. Well, our democracy is at risk. We're not a democracy. We are a republic, and we choose through the voting platform of who should be our elected officials. And if that is flawed, then we are in trouble. We are in trouble, big, big trouble. So we have to know where the truth is. And if there is truth that's flawed, expose it in the name of Jesus. But if there is no truth, we have to move forward with the results that occurred on November 3rd. And somebody say amen. We have to move forward. And this is where we are. And so I'm sitting behind my desk, and I got my laptop in it. And I'm crunching, and I'm reading, and I'm getting mad. I'm drinking water, and I'm crunching, and I'm reading, and I'm reading. I know more stuff than I've ever known in my life about elections, okay? I'm crunching, I'm reading, and I heard I'm getting hot, you know, I tell you what, I just read something on social media, and my goodness, I need to respond to that. And that person has no idea what they're talking about. I need to respond to that. And let me pick up the phone and let me call this person because they have no idea what they're talking about. And I'm doing all this, and I heard one word in my heart when I'm doing all this. It was like on a Thursday afternoon. I was working from home. And I was like, and I heard the Lord speak to me in my heart. I heard it, not in an audible voice, in my heart. I heard this word. It's a five-letter word. Relax. Relax. I heard it. Relax. I said, okay. Okay. And I heard it. I heard the Spirit of God say again, relax. And so then I said, okay, that's twice I heard the Spirit of God say relax. Let me look up what relax means. Relax means to stop what you're doing. To stop what you're doing, to become less tense, to become less anxious. Relax. Somebody say relax. It means to stop what you're doing. Acts chapter 20, verse 24, Paul makes a statement here in Acts 20, 24, but none of these things move me. Come on, say that out loud. Say that out loud. None of these things move me. Say it with me. None of these things move me. None of these things move me. Relax. And so I sat back in my chair. And the Lord said, relax. And I looked it up and I saw it. It said, stop what you're doing. And then I heard in my heart, okay, if I stop, what am I doing? Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, go take a nap. Now, if you know me, I enjoy naps, but I rarely find time to get a nap. I just rarely find the time. I got a lot going on, and taking a nap sometimes feels to me like I could have got this done instead of napping. But you know, some of the most spiritual activities that you can be a part of is just simply taking a nap. You know, taking a nap can be a spiritual thing. You know, one of the most productive things that you can do is just relax. And I heard the Lord say, take a nap. And I'm like, I got to do this, I got to do that. And then Stacy had come home. I said, Stacy, I'm going to go take a nap. She said, what you waiting on? Go take a nap. Well, I got to do this and that, this and that, this and that. She said, go take a nap. So I got in my bed and I relaxed and I took a nap. And I like picking my boys up from school. And so I get up because, oh, gosh, I got to go pick up the boys. And Stacy had already left to go pick up. She said, just take a nap. Relax. Somebody say relax. Relax. See, when we relax, we literally lean into the provision of God. When we relax, we are at our utmost faith level. If you can see, if you're so disturbed and anxious and tense, you cannot be full of faith and operate with so much anxiety going on. You can't be full of faith trusting God with so much stress occurring in your life. And a lot of it is stress that you bring on yourself. You cannot be in faith and be sad at the same time. If you are in faith, the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. If you're in faith, you can sit back and you can simply relax knowing that God is on the throne. Jesus was never on the ballot. He is the forever king. And we can understand and know that no, despite whatever's going on, all the rhetoric going on, thy word is truth. Jesus said, I am the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. His word is truth. And so when we understand, hey, I got the truth right here. I don't know what the truth is out here, but I got the truth right here. And the truth here is I win. The truth here says I'm more than an overcomer. The truth here says all things are going to work together for my good. The truth here says Jesus is coming back to rapture me. The truth here says I have an eternal reward awaiting me. Hallelujah. That's the truth of the word. Everything else can be a lie, but we have the truth, and the truth is God's word. When you relax, listen to this. When you relax, the flow of blood increases around your body, giving you more energy. Glory to God. When you just simply relax, and remember what relax means, stop what you're doing. Literally stop it. Stop. When I was crunching keyboard and I'm reading all these articles and, you know, and if, listen, if you want to read some, the social media and the internet, they'll provide lists of things for you to read. You don't even be thinking about something. You see a headline. Oh my gosh, I got to read up on that too. I got to read up on that too. The Holy Ghost said, relax. Why? So that I can have more energy. Relaxation slows your heart rate, reduces your blood pressure, and relieves tension. My blood pressure was high because I was anxious. I was tense, and I wasn't in a relaxed state. Relaxing gives you fresh perspective and new energy. It causes your mental and physical labor to cease when you simply relax. I like in Mark chapter 6. Let's put that on the screen there. Mark chapter 6. And this is so very important. It says, then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. So they're giving him a recap of what they had done and what they had taught. And Jesus said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. That word rest could also be the word relax. They had just been working and going. And Jesus said, listen, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place. Let's get away and let's rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they didn't even have time to eat. Glory to God. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. I like to say this was a cruise ship. They jumped on a cruise ship and went to another area. But right now, don't get on the cruise ship right now. But you might not come back. I want you to come back. Praise the Lord. You heard about one particular cruise ship I was reading all day. They were, my goodness. I told you, I've been doing a lot of reading, okay? I won't tell you that story then. Well, I got to finish the story. They was stranded on the boat for another 45 days. Listen, I got to get back to the house. I don't got time to be stranded on the boat. Well, yes, pastor been doing a lot of reading this week. But Jesus told them, didn't suggest to them, commanded them to relax, to rest, to get away, to step away, to step back. You've been too busy. You've been too preoccupied. You've got a lot going on. Things are bombarding your ears and your eyes. Pookie talking about this. Ray Ray talking about that. Your mama called you and she talking about the election. And your brother called you, he talking about the election. And y'all fighting in your families over the election. These people are wealthy and they're going to be completely fine. I mean, they're going to be fine, but here we are. They're not fighting each other. They on the media, they fighting each other. But they're going to be fine. Well, I cut them off. I don't talk to my sister no more because she voted for Trump. And I said, I don't like Trump. I ain't talking to them no more. That's ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous. These people are wealthy and they're fine. And you lost friendships over this. But I just don't see how somebody could do that. I don't see how anybody could vote for Joe Biden. I mean, I can't see. I question if you're even a Christian. And anytime you question someone's vote, you judge their vote, you judge their Christianity by their vote, that's demonic. You don't judge someone's Christianity by their vote. Who are you? You judge them by their fruit, not their vote. Well, I wonder if they're, you know, how can you be a Christian and a Democrat? God rebuke you for saying something along those lines. You judge someone by their fruit. People are going to vote for whoever they want to, and you can't get into some kind of place where now all of a sudden I'm judging all. Now I got to witness to somebody now. Hey, do you want to know Jesus? Yeah, I would love to know Jesus, but you also have to be a Republican too, okay? So you need Jesus, Drew, and the Republican Party, okay? And now you can, no! I ain't scared of y'all. That's ridiculous. And that stuff is floating around. I told you I've been reading a lot. Ridiculous. Help me, Lord, get through this message. Let me get back to the word. Sometimes the most productive thing you can do is relax. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. And any issues regarding your inability to rest and relax are issues of faith and trust. If you are struggling relaxing and resting, I submit to you that there are issues as well where your faith and trust in God is concerned. Now, I do understand that there are medical issues that your body could be contending with. I understand that. I'm not saying that cannot also be the case, but most of the time, It's an issue that you are struggling where faith and trust is concerned. And it's time for us to relax. Come on, somebody say relax. Hebrews 4, I'm going to start Hebrews 4. I'm going to want to look at verse 9 before we look at verse 3. Hebrews 4, verse 9, it says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Listen to that. Listen to that. There's a rest. There's a place of relaxing for the people of God. But look at verse 3. For we who have believed do enter that rest. Now I want to pause there. There remains a rest, a place of trust, a place of faith for the people of God. But how do we enter into that place of relaxing, that place of rest and trust? It starts with faith. It starts with believing. We have to believe to enter into his rest. We have to say, God, I trust you. And literally relax. Like, stop what you're doing. And I relax. God, I depend on you. And literally stop trying to strive and earn it. Stop trying to, for those of you, I heard in my heart, I got to get a new job. I've just got to put your resumes in, make your phone calls, pray, and just trust God. God, you got this thing because I can't kick this door open. Only you can open this door, and I want to walk through the doors that you open. Come on, somebody say relax.
Relax.
Once you stop long enough to really relax, you're finally in a position to really receive from God. Once you stop long enough to really relax, you're in a position to receive from God. And I believe, church, that the best days are ahead for us. I'll say this, I told you I've been reading. Somebody said something, and I was reading something that, Joe Biden's gonna close all the doors of the church to never open it again. Let me submit to you that the doors of this church will be open. Even, listen, you know I've been working on my backyard. Even if we got to meet in my backyard, we'll bring the speakers, praise the Lord, and the doors of the church were open. Even if I got to go into your basement and say, hey, we got to do 7 services a day because only 6 people can fit in that basement, the doors of the church will be open.
Amen.
Are you listening to me this morning? Now, I understand that there may be some fear and concern where other things are regards. I get all that, but I am not afraid that we can't meet. We will meet. If I got to jump on a horse and come to your house, we will meet. If I got to start writing letters and putting stamps on them, if I got to be my own mail system, we're going to meet. Hallelujah. So somebody say, no fear here.
No fear here.
No fear here. Listen, God is on the throne. Jesus is alive. I'm telling you, he has, through any president, it don't matter who it is. I hate Trump. Well, Jesus is still alive. I hate Biden. Jesus is still alive. And he's on the throne. And we are of a different kingdom. Did you know that? I know we're citizens of the United States and we love our country, but we are really citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And we're just here sojourning. We're just here as strangers. We don't live here. We're here temporarily. We're just occupying until he comes. This is not our final destination. Oh, come on, somebody. We are going to our final destination. That's heaven. And we're going to take as many people as we can with us because that's our assignment. It's like being an ambassador in another land. An ambassador in another land. Let's say you're an ambassador of the United States and you're in China. Well, that little section that you live, that's not Chinese territory, praise God. That's American territory.
That's right.
And I'm an ambassador there, and I live by the rules of the kingdom. I live by the rules of the United States. And in this area, this is where God provides for me. And the United States would provide. But as Christians, we can be walking around with the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And provision always accessible to us. And God always taking care of us. Well, they talking about they're going to be another letdown, lockdown. Well, I'll tell you, God can get to me anything from anyone, anywhere, at any time. Well, they keep talking about, they might just just cut your check, God will provide. If he got to bring it in a raven's mouth, he will provide. If I got to find it on in a dumpster somewhere, God will provide. If my rich, wealthy family member who's so stubborn don't want to get off that money, God can move on them. Hallelujah. Say, I ain't scared.
I ain't scared.
I'm telling you, God is still on the throne. Hallelujah. And we've been through worse times. Hallelujah. Listen, we were talking about this in men's meeting. And I'll quote Steve. He said this, and I thought it was really good. The media is really out to divide us. The social media and all that, these are algorithms. To divide us. These are things that, hey, if it knows, it there's one social media algorithm that says they know 5,000 things about you. 5,000. Just by what you're surfing on the web, they know. So if they know if you hate Biden, they're gonna tell you, you know, Biden is the devil. If you hate Trump, they're gonna tell you he's a rascal. I mean, this is what it's designed to do, to divide. But we're not as divided as they're trying to tell us.
Right.
We're more unified than ever before.
Amen.
We really are. But it's the media telling you, well, you know, you don't like that person. I don't like them. I don't like that. I don't like that. Well, and we're so divided. And here's another one I've heard this week. I told you, I've been listening, guys. Here's another one I heard this week. Well, I cannot see how Joe Biden won, and I just can't see it. There's got to be a rigged election. You know why you can't see it? Because nobody that you know voted for him. Everybody in your circle voted for Trump, and so you don't know anybody else that voted for him, so you can't see how that happened. On the other side, I can't see how Donald Trump won in 2016. I mean, I hated him, because that's all in your circle. There are millions of people out there voting. And Matt and I were talking about this, and a lot of times, I'm going to say it because I ain't scared. A lot of times the result of the election is really falls under the permissive will of God. God is allowing you to do what you want to do. I ain't never heard, you know, this is another, well, I'm on something, huh, baby? I got to settle down, but I'll tell you what. It falls under the permissive will. And all these prophecies. Oh, you know, we got prophet so-and-so said this, and prophet so-and-so said that, and prophet, let me tell you what the word says.
Amen.
This is what I want. I want to know what the word says. I don't know what prophet so-and-so said. I want to know what the word said. I know this prophet so-and-so ain't never prophesied a Democrat to win. He only prophesies Republicans. It's the truth. And give you an illustration. It's like my friend, he told me this. He said, you know, you guys know I know Daniel Cormier. And he said to me, he said, would you ever prophesy to Daniel that he would lose? Daniel, thus says the Lord, don't go out there today. You're going to lose. I said, no, I probably would never do that. He said, because you have an emotional connection with him. So you want the best. And so you're going to say something good. Yeah. That's typically the case. And that's what happens when and I've seen a lot of prophets now apologizing for their prophecies and all. Listen, God is allowing the voter. Unless there is widespread fraud to the fabric of our foundation of voting, God is allowing the voter to decide. And our job is to keep God on the throne. To keep and say, you know what? We are in this world, but we are not of this world. And whoever is the ruler of this world, man, we'll pray. But if he tells us to do something contrary to the word, we'll stand up against it like they did in the book of Acts. You listening to me? If they ever come in here and say, you can't have church, we're going to have church. We're going to have church. We're going to push back on that. Amen.
Amen.
So don't be scared. Relax. Somebody say relax.
Relax.
Just I rest and trust in God that God knows what his hand is upon this nation. And he knows how to, in Proverbs 20, it says how to change the heart of the king. God can use people you never thought he can use. I'm a living witness of that. God can use people you never thought. God, you would think that God can never use that person. That person give their life to Jesus and become a changed person. Amen. Amen. Now, in the meantime, come on now, Matt. In the meantime, I want you to relax and I want you to pray. I want you to relax and pray. Don't pray scared, machine gun tongue type of prayers. No, relax and pray. Lord, we want your perfect will to be done in this nation. Your will be done in United States of America as it is in heaven.
You have been listening to the ministry of Devon Alexander, pastor of True Life Fellowship Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more information, go to our website at www.truelifefc.org. You can also support this ministry financially through our website. Thank you, and remember to love, learn, live, and lead.